Hello, and welcome back to the Cine Club podcast. I'm Bibi.
I'm Matthew.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Reese.
This week we're looking at two classic teen movies about lies and deception.
So first, let's talk about the 1988 black comedy, Heathers.
It's pretty good, like...
It's good. It's okay.
It's okay.
Oh,
it's good.
Yeah, it didn't live up to... It was a bit hyped for me, and it didn't really live up to it for me. I don't know if this is going to sound stupid, but when something is like a bit too witty, like the dialogue is like...
Yeah.
I suppose I do, yeah. I get what you mean. Like, they just don't stop quipping and they don't shut up essentially.
Yeah, I kind of see what you mean there, yeah. It doesn't seem like there's many genuine interactions. It feels like quite constructed, I guess. But I know what you mean though.
Every interaction JD has with his dad... He's like that. They don't start going, oh, hey, son, what are you doing?
And they
doing
do it like
here?
In reverse, don't they? Yeah. It's like, yeah.
That's really weird. Because I thought he absolutely hates his dad, but it's like just really sarcastic to him.
Yeah.
And it's very strange.
It's the bit when he goes, like, I haven't seen my mom since she waved at me from a library window. I'm like, no talk like this.
Yeah.
Don't do this.
We've all done the hiccup voice as well there. We've all done the hiccup impression.
Yeah, he'd sound much more like Hiccup than the Christian Slater, Jack Nicholson voice that he was trying,
bless him, but he was just coming off as Joker and Hiccup rolled into one.
Pretty much, yeah. But this is way before Joker was the sort of we live in a society character that we all associate with him now. So
he's literally got
just...
the same thing, though. He's got the
pretty
same
much,
thing going on.
Yeah. It's the same, exactly the same thing, just a bit more.
It's interesting that his name's Jason Dean and they don't go for like a James Dean thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I know, I thought that. Because every time somebody mentions James Dean now, I always think, oh, like, yeah, JD or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, no, it's Jason Dean, actually. It's the wrong
name, I guess it's kind of what they were, like, it's like the archetypical bad boy and he seems like cool and mysterious at first, but then he's like an actual freak, kinda it turns out. He's not like a rebel with a heart of gold.
He does look cool, though.
Does he?
I don't know, he would look cool
he wasn't like 12.
I thought before I watched it, I thought he was meant to be like a James Dean type.
Yeah.
But then when you see him sat in the lunchroom staring at it, I was like, he's just a bit. And he brings a revolver to school.
Yeah, granted.
I love that bit though.
But that is quite funny, like the fact that he just literally pulls a gun out. Like, it's still within the first like 10 minutes of the film.
Yeah,
isn't
that's
it?
The thing. It caught me off guard. How quickly it turned out that.
I didn't know what the film was about at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to go in. I know Winona Ryder, isn't it? I know nothing else. So when, spoilers if you haven't seen Heathers, but we're already missing this. Yeah. This is your fault.
Yeah, exactly.
When the kill. Heather.
That's who Heather is.
When they killed the first Heather, I was like, is this... I was like, what am I watching?
Uh-huh.
I didn't think this is what it was going to be. Uh-huh.
Well, that's why I quite like it, because I feel like up to that point, it plays on the sort of like John Hughes 80s coming of age typical sort of thing. You think, it's fairly standard, you know, she's like the awkward nerdy girl and these guys are mean and yada yada and it'll... gradually progress, and then it turns into the whole murder and deception and suicide, and it's very heavy, but it's like done in such an over the top way where it doesn't really feel like it. It's like one of those ones where you'd try to describe it to someone and it'd sound like the most depressing, serious, harrowing film, but when you watch it you don't really think and you don't really notice any of that. So
it is that kind of tone that they're going for, but I feel like it doesn't match it very well, because to be quippy and funny and like, haha, you made her throw up on a hangover cure, like, instead of actually killing her, like, going in that scene doesn't have that energy. It has that sinister energy about it.
I think we should go with Big Blue here.
She is so gullible. She is the kind of person to look up if you said it was gullible. But I mean, and I think it is kind of like he argues to her, where it's like, well, you kind of definitely knew what I was gonna do, but you didn't.
Yeah, but like,
you want to believe it.
Yeah, you kidded yourself that I wasn't gonna do that, but you kind of. Yeah, I don't. It's tricky though, isn't it? Because at the same time, you probably think, he's just messing, and it's like. Oh no, he's not. Like,
he's insane.
With like the part where he's like, oh, they're real bullets, but they won't kill them.
That's when the red flags start to show, isn't it? How stupid do you have to be to believe that?
Ikluga bullets. Yeah. Well, the thing I like about that is, and I'd never noticed this until Brooke tells about it. Ich Lugers, like, I lie in German. So, like, it's the whole thing where it's like, oh, they're Ich Luger bullets. It's like, if you know that that's what that is, it's really clever. Mm-hmm. But, like, yeah.
It's got a bunch of clever stuff in it. I just don't think it, like, it doesn't keep the pace up enough or, like, the tone.
It is a weird one, isn't it? Yeah, because it does feel like, it feels like it's two different things at the same time. Like, it feels like quite a, it's like, feels like it's trying to be a serious drama, but then at the same time, it's got all of the, like, 80s high school sort of trappings of, like, those kind of actors, the slightly over-the-top exaggerated cliques and, like, the, you know, the, all the tropes that that never really happen in real life high school, I'm presuming. I wouldn't know because I've never seen an American high school, really, probably for the best. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, there's all that, the sort of situations that you expect, like, the two jock bullies and the, like, the sort of, the mean girls and the, like, you know, all of them sort of things. But then at the same time, it's got, like, it's got that sort of weird, like, dramatic synth music, and it's, like, got the whole thing with the, like, parents, and it's, like, and then when it starts going into the whole, like, suicide and the social commentary or whatever, like, which I think, I don't think it does that as well. But, like, this is why I think the, I mean, I knew the musical was going to come up eventually, but
I was gonna...
this is why I think the musical kind of does it better, because the musical cranks it up and, like, cranks up the campiness to the point where it doesn't feel like it's blurring the lines as much. It feels like it's so fully, like, on its own, you know, like, understand its own message and understand its own tone. The fact that it's got songs, you know, in the very nature of, like, songs about suicide and, like, all of that kind of thing. It's like...
When you're watching it as well, there are several points where lines from this film are then turned into songs in the musical.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's always nice to go, oh, there's the thing from the musical. But it's, I think that that's your point as well, because in it's Curtin Ram's funeral.
Right? Yeah, I love my dead gay son.
I love my dead gay son.
Yeah.
And in the musical, he strips off his shirt and he's got a rainbow tie underneath and a rainbow suit and he starts singing about how much he loved the dead gay son. Whereas that's just one, like, throwaway line. It's like, huh, that's kind of funny.
I feel like that would make it move on. Less funny.
Turn into a whole musical number. I kind of get what you mean.
Because the line in the film is really funny. When they cut to them and they've got the helmets on.
Oh, that's funny. That is really funny.
Yeah, that is
funny. And that's why it's such a funny throwaway line. If in the film he started singing, I'd be like, this is not funny anymore.
But if if that was the only song in there, that would be stupid.
If it was...
Yeah. Like, insane. It's like a dramatic stage play up to that point, and then it just suddenly clicks. It's like, ah, crap. But, yeah. No, and that's the other thing that also sticks out about this film to me. It's one of those... It's, like, the best film that Tim Burton never made. Because it feels like, I remember watching it and thinking, well, it's got Winona Ryder, it's got Otho from Beetlejuice, it's got the whole, like, offbeat dark themes but played quite comedically, it's like, you know, in a high school, it's all these shy weirdos as Tim Burton loves to do, and, like, but it's not, like, it's got nothing to do with them. It's around that era, it's like the same year that she was in Beetlejuice, I think, Winona Ryder, but
I,
like,
think it was.
But yeah, it's that was another weird sort of parallel. Whenever you mention it, I think, because I watched it with my mom, she was like, "Sure, this isn't a Tim Burton film." Like, I'm certain
it's one of those, like, hidden Tim Burton films, like,
yeah, like,
you know, the ones where he doesn't really go full weird on it, and it,
yeah,
it's like, some, like Big Fish, something
Ed
like that.
Wood or Big Fish or something like that, where
it's like, hang on, oh, that makes sense, that's Tim Burton, like,
but it's not, it's very not, obviously like Danny Elfman score kicks in, stop motion characters, yeah, like that kind of thing, you know.
I was thinking, is this a John Carpenter film with all the synths that was going on? It was so sinister.
Yeah, and there is a lot of, like, weird synth music in it.
In the boiler room as well, it was very Nightmare on Elm Street there.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I did think that was quite...
That final scene was very dark.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, like...
That's when he starts going off on the whole society rant, isn't it?
That's what I mean, yeah, that's when he goes, he's
Veronica, we live in
a society!
We've got to blow up the school!
Exactly.
You're just like me.
Norwegian in the boiler room! And all
that the ending with it in the boiler room? I need to ask this, because I've been thinking about it since I saw the film. Is there an episode of The Amazing World of Gumball that parodies that ending?
Oh my god!
I swear to God, there is.
There is a thing in Gumball where there's, like, an explosive in the boiler room. Yeah, yeah.
No way.
Wow, I've never thought of that.
I didn't even notice
that
she'd shot him, because I was too busy thinking about this. I was going, I swear Darwin's in this scene. And I was like, I wasn't even shot.
Mr. Small doing the assembly upstairs.
That boiler room scene, so in the film.
Veronica, we live in a society with talking cats.
Like, that's where I sort of lost, like, not interest. So I had interest the whole way through. Mm. I did like it, but it's when he's like, "I've got a bomb," and I'm like, "What? Why?" It's the fact that you can kind of see it coming too from the start that he's got a bomb.
That he's got, yeah, because the sort of imply that he's dad blows stuff
blows
up.
His mom.
Yeah,
blew his mom up.
Yeah. Blows his mom up. Which they never really explain.
It's really
that.
Glossed
like,
over.
Did he kill the mom accidentally or did he kill the
it
mom?
Was, she was left in.
Well, he says she walked into it as it was going to blow up. So it's like, was the relationship dysfunctional
like,
that she committed?
As a result, or?
I guess maybe like it's supposed to be a bit ambiguous.
Yeah.
In the musical, it's definitely a suicide. And it's made a way bigger point of in the musical. Because is it in Freeze Your Brain?
Yeah, that's my favourite part in the whole musical where she's like, it's like, well, what does your mom think of all this? And he just goes, when mom was alive.
And then all the running actors now started looking at the stage and like,
just like a proper grimace. It's like so funny. It's like the timing of it's just perfect.
It's
like,
brilliant. And they don't make as much of a point of JD's like origin story at all.
He's not worse
than Kurt and Ram, I think. He's more creepy than they are. In the... musical.
I think they all kind of suck.
Oh, they all kind of suck. Yeah,
they all kind of
There's
suck.
Not a likable character in this film.
No.
The whole evil.
Barely even from Ronica. Like,
yeah.
I like the dad with his spy novels. He's like, I'll let him off.
Right. Oh, that bit
I'm an idiot. Yeah.
I was thinking, what the hell is this film doing here? Because there's two things
that they make such a point of that like line, and I still don't really understand what the humor in that is. But the fact that it's like kind of just so... like makes no sense, I think, is what makes it more funny.
It just makes you go, what
tell
you doing?
Me why I read these spinals. It's like, it's just, what is the point in that? Like,
yeah, JD's definitely at his worst in this film though than he is in the musical.
He's
really creepy and like kind of like abusive and
kind of
very abusive.
He's somewhat abusive, you know, like with the knives
and walking to school with C4 strapped to his chest.
Because in the musical, I think Kurt and Ram really freak me out because they're just horrible. Like on the surface, they're very hard, like high school bullies, and then they get very like date rapey, and they sing a whole song about that.
Yeah,
and that's
yeah.
very off putting. So you're like, oh yeah, you should definitely shoot them. But in the film, they're more just like they're just the high school bullies, and they don't really do the whole song about date rape.
Yeah,
it's kind of conflated from like the first scene a really early scene where she's at that college party. That bit's really horrible.
Oh, that was horrible.
Oh, yeah.
That's another really off... This is what I don't get about this film. As you say, the musical amps it up to a point where you throw all caution to the wind.
Yeah.
But this is still that's a very realistic depiction of what happens to an underage girl at the party. And then...
it's realistic and unrealistic at the same time. I think it tries to be both, whereas the musical plays on how unrealistic the concept is and makes the whole thing then seem unrealistic.
Yeah.
But
it's tonal whiplash, turned up to 11. There's a bit about, there's a very, very small bit in that part, you see, where you feel like Heather doesn't like the whole position she's in either. She's victimized in that bit, but then you just... she's dead
before we get a chance
to explore it. And again, the musical kind of revels in it. Like, Heather doesn't really care about any of that. She's very in charge of the party.
I've just remembered the, you know, when she goes in the shower as well, that's another weird scene where it leads into nothing. It feels like it's gonna there's that bit and they're all like, oh, what's going on, what's she doing, you know. It's when Veronica sees, it's like when they've got the scrunchies and they're like, oh, this is Heather scrunchie. And then she just wanders into the school showers with her clothes on. And you think, they're all going to be like, what's going on? What, this is so weird. But it just cue a little synth sting and then it just cuts away. And that's
that is some of the things to think about. It's how does the rest of that scene go? Does she walk away?
Go about the rest of that day at school absolutely drenched. wow, PE was pretty intense today. Right,
it's
really
about the total whiplash as well, because in that same scene, she makes the joke to Heather Duke about, oh, you're actually eating something there, Heather. Are you okay? And then a second later, she's like contemplating life and death in the shower.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's like making high school sort of banter and then also, Christ, I just killed a person. Which I think is, that is what Heather's is all about, but it doesn't get away with it quite as well in the film, I don't think. Because it's like I say, it's sometimes trying to be serious, sometimes not. doesn't quite win either way. But yeah,
yeah,
interesting.
Agree. I very much agree.
Now, let's turn our attention to 2004's Mean Girls. What did everyone think of that?
Right, right, okay.
Okay, as the Mean Girls hater in the room, supposedly.
Yeah, so when Reese had the idea, he was like, oh, we should do Mean Girls and Heathers. I was like, oh, fucking give us strength. Then I watched Mean Girls the other night, and I genuinely think it's one of the funniest films I've ever
seen.
It's just
class. I know,
it's so good.
I feel like it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, maybe just because like, as a guy, it's one of those ones where it's like, you just think of it as like girls sleepover film. You're like, I'm not going to enjoy Mean Girls. And then you watch it and you're like, oh, this is actually hilarious. Like, because that's exactly what happened with me as well. Mm-hmm. I was like, I had a friend who was like, oh, you got to watch Mean Girls. Like, you'd love it so much. And I was like, what? I was like, that's not great. That's your impression, that you look at me and think, that kid's going to love Mean Girls. But then I watched it and I was like, oh, no, it is actually just like a really funny, well-written, like genuine comedy film.
It
so.
Is great.
Because Heathers, is it strange, right? I know I'm back on Mean Girls, but Heathers is Mean Girls fan fiction before Mean Girls was made.
That's
why I like Mean Girls more, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't
mean
take
Girls
itself
knows,
seriously.
No. It knows what it wants to be better, I think, and it doesn't really take itself very seriously. Mm. Like, there's a sort of serious message to it.
Yeah.
There's the whole, like, the very concept of it is quite... well, you know, it's well done and it makes sense, but it's like, but it just is funny and it's so exaggerated in the way it does it. And it was not helped by being a musical.
The Mean Girls musical is not good.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard the stage musical's all right, but I've seen the film and I thought it was pretty
desperate.
Don't
care for it on the stage either.
Really?
I just think some of the songs are bad, and I think it doesn't get some of the characters. I think it Janice is the one that sticks out to me, where they kind of flatten over a lot of her flaws from the film to make her like a folk hero, and it's like ironically makes you like her less because she comes across as way less self-aware and like more of a hypocrite.
Yeah.
In the film, the big confrontation between her and I forgot if it is Katie or Katie. It's Katie, but everyone changes their mind. The big confrontation in the film, she's like, at least me and Regina know what we are. You act so innocent, but you're not. Mm. You're a mean girl.
Yeah, you are a mean girl. You just pretend to be nice.
Yeah. Mm. But in the musical, the song she sings is like, well, Regina sucks, but at least she didn't pretend to be my friend. And it's like, no, that is what Regina does.
Yeah, that's like kind of exactly what she does. That's
and
like,
it's because they don't, I don't know. Obviously, Janice is not as bad as Regina. But like, they're all mean girls. That's why it's called Mean Girls, not Plastics or something.
Yeah.
And they all have to learn, because all the cliques at the end also all have their own interpersonal drama. And it's because
that's a brilliant scene at the very end when they're all like doing the trust falls.
Yeah.
And who is it confesses something so bad that everyone but Karen gets out the way?
Oh, yeah.
Flattened.
It's aggression again. She just says, I'm sorry everyone's so jealous of me. Yeah.
That's such a good scene.
I'd forgot about that, yeah.
It's the same scene where when they're all confessing and that one girl goes up and someone shouts, she doesn't even go to the school. Yeah. We just go, well, yeah, who's she?
That's what Mean Girls is, that one scene with the parents from Heathers, but all the time.
Pretty
instead,
much.
What was that?
Is that eh? Sorry?
Yeah, the people in Mean Girls, they're all insane. Uh-huh. You got to double take everything the same. Unbelievable.
Well, even just the fact that one of the main plot points of the film is that like one of the characters gets ran over by a bus. Yeah. And they just brush over that as if that's something that happens in every high school. It's like, oh man, you remember when she got ran over by the bus? Like, as if that's not something that would like probably shut the entire place down for like 10 years. But it's great.
You can tell it's a very 2000s film as well.
Yeah. It's very 2000s.
So in that era.
It's a very like scary movie.
Mm-hmm. Especially as well, because Regina takes those like protein bars or whatever to gain weight.
Yeah,
and everyone's like, oh my God, she's so fat. She looks no different.
She literally looks no different.
She's no different. And people are saying that she's like the fattest woman alive. Like,
that's the only way where it doesn't age very well.
That's just the only thing.
There's plenty of other things, but that kind of...
I think... I don't want to bring the whole thing down, but I think the depiction of the Asian characters is a little dehumanizing.
From the first like, 5 minutes when they go like, the cool Asians, I'm like, oh, this is where we're going with this, okay.
Good Asian nerds, cool Asians. It's like, could you stop? It's just like,
it's enough.
The thing with the coach where it's like, they're actually victims, but I feel like the film wants us to laugh because like, it's like, oh, it's Asian girls, so it's funny.
Because they have like, because they don't really speak much English in the film, don't they? They just like speak to each other, and you just get it subtitled. So you don't really like
the part where the subtitles call each other the N-word.
Oh yeah,
that was kind of funny.
I think the bit with the coaches, I didn't give it that much thought really.
Because it goes so fast, you don't really have time to think about all the different...
It's the bit where the teacher goes, coach Gar, step away from the underage girls. That was where you go, and then you go,
For the allegations against Coach Gar turned out to be very true. You had to take this very seriously. He was funny though, I liked him.
The head teacher, all the teachers
were great.
The
sex ed bit was quite funny.
Yeah.
It's like, you're gonna get AIDS, you're gonna die! Don't do it!
You'll die. I forgot
about that. I thought it was like in our school. I think out of all the teachers, the head teacher was my favourite.
He's hilarious,
When they're in the when they're in the gym and he goes, I'm gonna keep you here for as long as it takes. We can only keep them till 4. I'm gonna keep you till 4. It's so funny.
Well, he's great because he plays like the same character in everything I've seen him in. Like, he's in quite a few Adam Sandler films as well, and he just does the same thing.
Yeah.
And the Goldbergs, he's like the same teacher character, but like
he reminds me of Phil from The Inbetweeners.
Oh,
especially
right.
At the end when he goes, I'm so glad the school year's over. He's really happy about it.
I'm not gonna miss any of you. It's like,
he's the best character.
Well, that's it. There is just great characters. Like, I feel like every single one of them like is really funny in their own sort of way. So
underrated characters in Mean Girls. I
like Aaron G.
Who?
He's the head of the math leads.
Oh my god, he was great.
I was physically recoiling when he was speaking. Do your thing. I'm like, oh, just stop.
Yeah,
god, please.
Yeah.
That's a good point, actually. Why do they un-lesbian
that's
the girl
insane.
At the end of the film? That was something that really like caught me off guard, because the whole thing was like, oh yeah, I'm a lesbian, everybody accept it and do the trust fall. Then at the end, she's like dancing with him and she's
yeah, bi. And but then
like,
make up.
It's just a weird curveball that they're
throwing. Yeah,
I think they're like, closing it off.
Sorry, go on. I think it's supposed to be funny, like, haha, you thought she was a lesbian, but she wasn't. Uh-huh. But it's just a bit like, oh, well, you just took away, this character that could have been like a representation for some people. Like, I kind of,
I think one of the funniest jokes as well, it's when they're in the bathrooms and... It's the gay bloke in there. And the girl comes, hey, you're not supposed to be in here. Oh, Danny DeVito, you're such a big fan. He's like, I love shit. He's out of the bathroom. It was just like some sort of weird intrusive thought that he just had. It just takes him off.
Oh, I love the bit at the very end.
Too gay to function.
Too gay
to function.
That
whole thing
was unbelievable. That's a good line. But it's the bit at the end when, I forgot his name, but the gay friend and the lesbian, when they kiss, and they're like, no. That was one of the
Because I thought for a second, even though I've seen it before, I was thinking, they didn't do that, did they?
Yeah.
They didn't just do that character
arc. Mandela effect.
Okay, they didn't. it's just a film full of fake outs.
It
like,
really is.
Yeah.
Going into it, you expect it to be stupid, girly high school film.
Yeah, that was it. That was what I thought.
They start making,
be,
but... like quite clever jokes.
Regina
George gets hit by a bus. Yeah,
it's like genuinely really well written. Just like it's really funny.
Oh no!
What's your favorite quote from it though?
The one that I was laughing uncontrollably at was I'm sorry I called you a gap tooth bitch. It's not your fault you're so gap tooth. I couldn't stop. I have to pause it because I knew that if I didn't pause it, I would be laughing too much. I wouldn't hear the next joke. I have to pause it.
Yeah,
oh my god!
At the moment,
that one's so good.
There's a few I like. I've got the very awful auto-tuned one from the 2024 film as well. I've got that in my head. The songs and that they are terrible.
Oh yeah.
But from this version of it, I like the joke the teacher makes about having a wig. That was very, that was a like blink and you'll miss it one. exchange student from Africa. That was it. Yeah, that was
that was a risky one.
That was a very that was when I first realized, like, this is a great film. Because it's the first joke they really make, and it's a very out there joke. It's a very risky joke. And like, oh yeah, this is great.
They do it so well.
Brilliant film.
It's Tina Fey plays the teacher, isn't it?
She's
unbelievable. Oh my god.
Oh, there's so many. Who here has been personally victimized by Regina George? And then literally, including the teachers, put their hand up. Yeah. Even the head teacher.
That bit as well, like the visual joke of the head teacher wearing a vest with a baseball bat. Yeah. Student. Oh, God.
He got so tough at the end of that film as well, didn't he?
He did. He
gets the fire alarm off and just yells at them all. He like really took that into action.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to me that she was like, oh, the girls have gone wild. And then he's like, grabs a bat. And it's like, what are you going to do?
Oh, God.
So how would you guys compare both of them, and which did you like more? I think the answer for most people has got to be obvious.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I still think I prefer Heather's a little bit.
That's interesting.
Even though it's like, it's nowhere near as good, I feel more inclined to go back to it more, and I don't really know why. I think I know why. It's because I love Christian Slater and I love Winona Ryder, and I like the fact that like the two of them together in it, I think they're cool, and I know JD's like, he's a stupid character, but it's because I just love like that actor, and I just think he's really cool in that film. Like, you know, he's not meant to be cool. Like the fact that he sort of is, but then you realize he isn't. And and like I say, because the fact,
because I kind of like the turnaround. Because so you were saying like, he comes off too creepy for you, but I don't know.
I kind of liked that.
Like it kind of felt accurate to something a lot of people go through, where you meet someone who seems quite captivating and different.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you slowly discover,
I didn't think he, I really didn't think he was that creepy to begin with. Like, I think he is kind of cool. Like,
he does keep the mask up quite well.
Yeah.
The first half of the film, then the second half, he just completely drops it and he's absolutely nuts.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that. I think, like, he just goes full on, like, crazy.
Yeah. Like, there's the, when Veronica pretends to hang herself, he does that whole speech, and that's made into a whole song in the musical, which is the best song in the musical, by the way. Yeah. And he goes absolutely nuts.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. He's just such a crazy character.
He starts going on the whole friggin' like Moby Dick tangent in the second half, which I think is really funny as well. He's like, Eskimo, Moby Dick, nothing screams loneliness. He's just like running around, and she's just like, and you can see she's like, look at yourself, man. Yeah. The state of this guy running around a dark kitchen with a knife, like reading quotes from Moby Dick. It's like something just like quite funny about how quickly he goes off the deep end once it, like, you know, but like also just the fact that even the bullies are a bit scared of him after a while, because there's like the whole thing after the funeral where he's like riding away on his bike, and they're like, they all stop and freeze and he's just looking at them like,
I do like how he's above the bullies. I like that one. That's a very good part of his character.
Yeah, totally. That he's like such an outsider that they're all a little bit afraid of him, but like,
because he's not just like a bully, he's actually a nutcase. He has killed people.
He's an actual killer. But that being said, like, they're very, very like close, and it's probably just because I think I've seen Heather's more recently. Like, Mean Girls I need to go back to, because he's talking about it and I remember these bits vaguely, but like, like, I want to watch it again, because like, it is really, really funny, and it's just a, it's just a good like fun film.
Yeah,
like, you can't go wrong with it. Really, so
absolutely.
Mean Girls definitely an easier watch.
It is, it's an easier one, and it's easier to sell someone on as well. I think the fact that everybody's like heard of it, most people have seen it, makes it a bit easier. But like, it's much easier to know. You sort of know what you're getting within the first few jokes, and you're like, oh, actually, this is really funny. Yeah. So,
well, I think that's all we've got time for. Let us know what you thought of these films.
To get in touch with us, just email us at cineclub.podcast@sparksunderland.com. We'd love to hear what you think.
And you can also get in touch with us on Instagram and TikTok at @thecineclubpodcast_spark and find out about our latest episodes and all our other news.
As always, this episode was recorded and produced by us, the Sunderland University students, and edited by Emily Main. Special thanks to Barbara Sadler, Steve Cannon, and Richard Berry. This week, our hosts have been BB,
Matthew,
Jake,
and Reese.
This has been a Cineclub production for Spark. Thanks for listening.